وقل رب زدني علما.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وموالاه. أما بعد, This is the lesson from the كتاب بلوغ المرام للحافظ ابن حجر رحمه الله تعالى, كتاب النكاح, The Book of Marriage, حديث 844. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا يجمع بين المرأة وعمتها ولا بين المرأة وخالتها. ناريت أبو هريرة, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, a man must not join together in his marriage to him a woman and her paternal aunt, or a woman and her maternal aunt agree upon. The Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام forbade in this hadith that a man to marry a woman and her aunt from father's side at the same time, or to marry a woman and her aunt from mother's side at the same time. He can marry each separate, but he cannot join them in marriage. He cannot marry them at the same time. Likewise, he's not allowed to marry two sisters at the same time. He's not allowed to marry two sisters at the same time. So he can marry two sisters, one of them at a time, and then marry another one, the other one another time, but not to join them in marriage at the same time. Likewise, the woman and her aunt from mother's side, or the woman and her aunt from father's side, maternal aunt and paternal aunt. وهذا التحريم تحريم مؤقت, is a temporary محرمية, تحريم, it's not for good. Unlike man marrying a woman and her mother, it's not allowed forever. By just having a contract of marriage with the woman, her mother become haram to him forever. And he become her mahram. Even after he divorce or she dies, his wife, means her daughter. Unlike the two sisters or the woman and her aunt, he cannot join them in marriage, but he can marry and separate. Therefore, they take hijab from him. He cannot travel with them alone. A man cannot travel with his sister-in-law alone because she is not mahram for him. Even though he cannot marry her at the time, but yet she has to take hijab from him and the like any other strange woman. The same thing with a man and woman and her aunt. Next hadith, hadith 845. وعن عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا ينكح المحرم ولا ينكح, لا ينكح المحرم, لا ينكح المحرم ولا ينكح. عن عثمان رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا ينكح المحرم ولا ينكح, لا ينكح, نعم أحسنت أبا أمام, لا ينكح المحرم ولا ينكح، لا ينكح أي هو لا يح أي لا يتزوج، لا ينكح المحرم ولا ينكح أي غيره. رواه مسلم، وفي رواية له ولا يخطب. زاد ابن حبان ولا يخطب عليه، زاد ابن حبان ولا يخطب عليه. نال إلى عثمان بن عفان، may Allah be pleased with him. Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, one who is in ihram means he involve hajj or he involve umrah. He intended that he enter in a state of ihram. He enter in a state of ihram for hajj or for umrah. That person has mahduratul ihram. There are prohibitions for the muhrim. From that, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la yankihu al-muhrim. One who is in ihram may not marry. He cannot marry. He can't marry. Wala yunkih, or be given in marriage. Or be given in marriage, reported by Muslim. In another narration by him, it says he shouldn't ask someone's hand in marriage. I mean, it's the muhrim, the one who is in a state of ihram, is performing hajj or umrah, he shouldn't ask someone's hand in marriage. Ibn Hibban added, nor give someone in engagement, means to be married. Not give someone in engagement means to be married. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade four things. First, لا ينكح المحرم. The one who is muhrim doesn't get married. While he is in ihram, he is not allowed to get married. Even if it happened, he had an appointment to get married that specific day, family agree on everything, and it happened that the same days he traveled to make umrah, he traveled to make hajj, but he was not able to complete until the date of marriage enter. Marriage can't be performed. He's not allowed. He has to finish the ihram first. He has to finish. Likewise, he can't marry someone to somebody. He cannot marry his daughter, for instance, or his sister, or the like, to anyone when he is muhrim. He's not allowed. Not only that, he cannot even engage a woman. He cannot even engage a woman. He cannot ask the hand of a woman in marriage. You cannot go to a father, to a man and say, I want to marry your daughter. I want to marry your sister. He can't say while he's in a state of ihram. All that is stopped. Likewise, he cannot ask for someone, nor give someone in engagement to be married. All this is not allowed for the muhrim. This hadith is reported by Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu is not from the mukthiruna fil hadith. It's not from those who narrate many hadith radiallahu anhu. Sahaba haf mukthirun fi riwayat al hadith. Those who narrate many hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed to the ummah. Uthman radiallahu anhu is now one of them. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال تزوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ميمونة وهو محرم. متفق عليه. ولمسلم عن ميمونة نفسها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تزوجها وهو حلال. عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: تزوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ميمونة وهو محرم. متفق عليه. ولمسلم عن ميمونة نفسها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تزوجها وهو حلال. This hadith 846 narrated Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم married Maymunah when he was in a state of ihram. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم married Maymunah رضي الله عنها when he was in a state of ihram during pilgrimage. Agree upon. Muslim reported from Maymunah herself رضي الله عنها saying the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم married her when he was not in a state of ihram. When he was not in a state of ihram. I forgot to mention in the first hadith the footnote, the Sheikh say, while in the state of ihram, taking part in engagement to marry or marriage of oneself or of someone else is not permitted, according to the most scholars. As regards the next hadith, la, while in the state of ihram, taking part in engagement to marry or marriage of one's self or of someone else is not permitted, according to most scholars. Yes, no, that's right. طيب, to go back to this hadith, in this hadith collected by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, the Sahabi Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم married Maymunah رضي الله عنها while he was in a state of ihram. While he was in a state of ihram. That hadith collected by both Imam Bukhari and Muslim. And Imam Muslim he narrated through his chain from Maymunah herself radiallahu anha, saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her when he was not in a state of ihram. When he was not in a state of ihram. Do you see any contradiction to these two narrations? Or no contradiction? It appears to be a contradiction. The first one, it says what? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he married while he was in a state of ihram. Who collected this hadith? Imam Bukhari and Muslim, they agree upon. The other hadith, what it says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marry Maymunah radiallahu anha when he was, yes, when he was halal. He was not in a state of ihram. Who narrated this hadith? Maymunah radiallahu anha herself. As you see, both hadith, one is collected by both Bukhari and Muslim, and one is collected by Imam Muslim. And it appears to be contradicting. One says he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married when he was in a state of ihram. Other one say he didn't marry while he was in a state of ihram, rather while he was halal. The people of knowledge, the muhaddithun, they say the one saying, the one narrated by Ibn Abbas, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Maymunah while he was in a state of ihram, is wahmun, is a mistake. From the narrator, is a mistake. And the correct one is, the one saying he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her while he was not in a state of ihram. For two reasons. One reason is because Maymunah radiallahu anha, irhamukallah, radiallahu anha, she knows. Ahsanta, she knows about herself more than someone else. The incident relate to her. So she knows whether the Prophet was in a state of ihram or not, because it's about her. and what concerned the person, the incident, the person was present. He was a part of it. He knows better than someone who was not a part of it, was narrated to him. The other thing is the hadith that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, married while he was in a state, he was not in a state of ihram, agree with the other narrations, with the other hadith, with the other hadith, like the one who, the hadith, the previous hadith, which collected by Imam Muslim, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, narrated the Prophet said, the muhrim cannot marry or marry someone else. So this is another hadith narrated by another companion. So the hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu and the hadith of Maimuna go along. That he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't marry. One he forbade to marry in a state of ihram. And the other one says he married while he was not in a state of ihram. So the hadith of Uthman and hadith Maimun radiallahu anhu goes the same, have the same meaning. Unlike the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And this is from where the ulama, they say, even though the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, still there may be a mistake because the narrators are human beings. They can mistake. They can mistake. Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim. Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim. And these are very few hadith. Very few hadith that mistakes happen in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. Naam, the ulama hadith with the status of Imam Bukhari and Muslim, especially with these two books. But still, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim, they didn't blind follow them. Then Imam Bukhari said, Imam Muslim said, that's it. Rather, they look like any other one's narrations, compare it to the other narrations, and see. And say, this is a mistake. This is a mistake from the narrator. Whether he is the Sahabi, Ibn Abbas here, radiallahu anhu, whether he is the one who narrated from him. Tayyib. Some Ahl al-Bid'ah, people of innovations, wal-iyadu billah, they don't accept the hadith when it's narrated, when the hadith is hadith al-Ahad. For instance, it's narrated by one companion from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so not two or more. Or one tabi from the Sahaba. Or one tabi'u tabi'i from the tabi'i. So this hadith has one narrator, they say we don't accept it. Why? They say because the narrator can mistake. The narrator can mistake. He's a human being, right? Okay. Since he can mistake, they say they don't accept the hadith of Ahad. Hadith narrated by one or two or even three. Okay. The people of knowledge didn't accept that. They say the origin is to accept what trustworthy person, religious person, just person who has a knowledge, what he narrates, what he says, the origin is to accept it. Anyone who say what he said is wrong, he has to prove it. Not to reject what the trustworthy people narrate. Based on that, they can mistake. Because if that would have been the case, even the Messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he's an individual, he's one. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam used to send some of his sahaba to the disbelievers, giving them a message. The carrier was one. He didn't combine, he didn't make them two. Plus, even people's livelihood, if no one should accept any information unless it's from two or more, person's life would have been very difficult. Even you wouldn't trust your son, your daughter, your wife, anybody. Anyone who tells you something, you say, no, I can't accept it. You know why? Because you are one person. You human, you can mistake. How's your life is going to be? It's just understandable. So these Ahlul Ahwa, them, they accept from their wives, from their children, what they tell them. They're not asking them to have two witnesses or three or four. They're not asking them this. But when it comes to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, with the great, with the Sahaba, like the hadith, they don't accept it in Aqidah, in Creed. The first hadith in Bukhari, hadith innama al-amal bin-niyat wa innama likul imrin ma nawa, it is only Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu who narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No other companion narrated that hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they don't accept that. The ulama, they say, yes, the Sahabi, Umar radiallahu anhu, made mistake. Imam Bukhari made mistake. So and so scholar made mistake. They're human being. But prove that they mistake. Otherwise, the origin is to accept what the trustworthy person says and mentions. If you don't accept that, then don't accept all people of bid'ah. Don't accept from anyone anything until those that you have four or more people, which they are not accepting, because their life is going to be difficult. They will have the end up having waswas and problems. Then if this is, you are accepting from your own wives and children and friends, whatever they tell you, since you know them trustworthy, how you don't accept from the people of knowledge, from the scholars, who has been proved to be trustworthy, to be knowledgeable, to be memorizing, to be just. هذا ليس من العدل. So it's a means of fighting the deen of Allah. Otherwise, it's not something based on knowledge. وعن, so, yes, but when you prove that so and so mistake Sahabi radiallahu anhu or so and so scholar mistake, now it's accepted. Will not be said now, how can the Sahabi mistake? How can the Tabi mistake? How the great scholar can mistake? He can mistake. He can mistake. But you need to prove it. So two groups are wrong. The one who say will not accept narration if narrated by one person, for instance. And someone who says, I'm accepting was so a specific person narrated other than the prophets of Allah. Everything he says. He is a perfect. He is ma'soom. As the Rafida claim, they have 12 imams who are ma'soom. Min al-khata. They are protected from mistake. They don't mistake. Ahlul Sunnah, they don't accept this. Even with the Sahaba, even with Abu Bakr. They don't believe him, radiallahu anhu, being mada, being a perfect. They don't accept that. How? So Ahlul Sunnah, in every matter, they're in a middle course. Allah guide them to the truth. Next hadith. Hadith 847 وعن عقبة عقبة بن عامر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أحق الشروط أن يوفى به ما استحللتم به الفروج إن أحق الشروط أن يوفى به ما استحللتم به الفروج متفق عليه نار عقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنه الله's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said the most worthy condition to be fulfilled are those by which you make sexual intercourse lawful for yourselves. Means in marriage. The Sahabi Uqbah ibn Amir radiallahu anhu narrated, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most worthy condition is to be fulfilled. The most deserving conditions to be fulfilled are those by which you make sexual intercourse lawful for yourself, means in marriage, agree upon. A believer must fulfill his conditions, his contracts, his promises. But the most deserving conditions to apply and to adhere to make sure you fulfill as it is those conditions by which you make the sexual intercourse lawful for yourself. Meaning the one you had a condition, the conditions between you and the woman, your wife. Man is marrying, he wants to marry before he marry, his wife has conditions. For instance, that he will not remove her from her city. She said, for instance, she likes where she born, where she grow up, where her family members are. She doesn't want to go any place else. I have this condition. He said, that's fine. He must fulfill it. This is a condition. She said, you want to marry me? Yes, a condition. Dowry is $1 million. $1 million, yes, upshiri. I'm a very rich man. He has to fulfill it. As long as the condition doesn't contradict to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. He had a condition. She has a condition. You marry, don't marry second wife with me, let alone third or fourth. He said, don't worry about it. I promise. He has to fulfill it. Because by this condition, he make lawful for himself that woman. So he has to fulfill it. إِنَّا حَقَّ الشُّرُوطِ أَنْ يُوَفَّى بِهِ مَا اسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ بِهِ الْفُرُوجِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. سبحان الله, some people, ignorant people, very ignorant, far away from the Islam, in that field, they say to one another, when you want to marry, lie to the woman, and after you marry, tell the truth. Bring her through lying and live with her through telling the truth. What do they mean? You really understand? Okay. Who understood? Nobody. Yes, you understand? You understand, I know you understand. Yes, Hussein. What do you understand? Ahsant. Yes. So before he marry her, in order to marry her, he lied to her. MashaAllah, I have a beautiful job. I have high degree. I am. MashaAllah. I memorize all Quran. You want to test me? Get the Mus'haf. Oh, no, I don't have to test you. You memorize, yes, that's okay. And marriage happened. Now he's treating her with reality. Where is the money you told me? I never had it. Degree, what do you mean? I didn't finish high school. Everything, the reality now. He say, deal with that in reality, then truth, but bring her through lie. This they have a principle. Think about this human being. وَالْعِيَادِ بِاللَّهِ. And subhanAllah, some falsehood, injustice, when it is spread and spread and spread, it becomes a part of the life. Even the one who is being oppressed accepts it. From that, certain community, the dowry is not given to the woman until she either divorces or the man dies. Brother Shamsuddin, he said, wow, because this is a big thing. It is. A man marry a woman, she forget about the dowry. Until the man what? Pass away. now the dawah is due, or until he divorces her. Such a way, Islamically, we know it. By the time the dowry become her haq, it become her right. When it become her right, if you agree with her, specific dowry, and what? And he consumes. Or some ulama say he become alone with her, even if he doesn't. She make herself available, but or whatever the reason is. So now this is her haq. From there is her right. She can forgive it. She can leave a part of it. She can take it later on. But this is her right. Like anybody, his right is due. And if that's the case, the earlier he gives, the earlier he fulfills the haq, the right of the people. Okay. But these people, they have this custom. No, he doesn't give the dower until he passes. She doesn't get the dower until he passes away or until he divorces. And she needs her money. She needs her dowry. She really desperately needs it. There are debt on her, but she's not getting anything from it. Such a way they accepted, even the women themselves. If a man says, this is your dowry, are you divorcing me? She says right away, you divorcing me? I ask you divorce? No, this is your dowry. No, don't give it to me if you don't want to divorce me. It's because they used to, and it become a part of their life, which is totally wrong. Allah said, وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلًا. Give the woman their dowry is a mandatory, a farida. They have their right. If some, you don't keep what is right, when is due, you borrow money from somebody, I will bring it at the end of the month, you rent a house, you had a contract with somebody, he did the job, there is a deadline. The deadline comes, you have to pay it. Don't delay it. Even some of us, you are in a rent house, you have to pay that specific date. Person, he is able, but he's not paying it. 1 day pass, 2 days pass, 3 days pass. For what reason? That's dhulm. That's dhulm. Somebody, he hired somebody to do a job, fixed the house, fixed the car. He does the job. The deal is done. He's not paying him. Sometimes 7 months pass away. Akhi, give me my money. He is making mala. Matul al-ghaniyu dhulmun. So when he is able not to give it on time, is oppression. Oppression should be given when it's right, the first time is due. So al-muhim. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here said, "Inna haqq al-shurut." And you wafa bihi mastahlaltum bihi al-furuj. The most worthy condition to be fulfilled are those by which you make sexual intercourse lawful for yourself in marriage. Of course, some people of knowledge, they say, ask for having agreement with the woman that you will not marry a second wife. So they say it's the wrong condition. She shouldn't bring this. Therefore, accept the condition. And after that, don't fulfill it. Some of they say no. If you accept the condition, you have to fulfill it. Otherwise, it's a deception, it's a lie, and it's not allowed in Islam. What is the consequence? He married with that condition. Then he end up, he wants to marry a second wife. That means she has right to be divorced, Islamically and legally. Unlike those conditions was not there, she has no right to ask for divorce because he married a second wife. She's not allowed. This case, she's allowed because she had that contract ahead of time. But to have the condition, is it good? Is it not good? It's not good to have the condition. Brings a lot of issues. But if a woman chooses that, a man accepts it, he has to fulfill it. Stop here, inshallah. Subhanakallahu bihamdik, nashhadu la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Any correction, any benefit? Allah, na'am, akhi. Yes, ahsant, yes. If she has that condition with him, you cannot marry second wife. And then he does it. Okay, now she have the choice to ask for divorce because this is her condition, her right, or to change her mind. And to, so she doesn't have to. She doesn't have to. Yeah, even though she wants the man, he's really good. Okay, she said, oh, since I have this condition, I have to leave. Back up. It's not obligated. This is her right. She can give it. She can change her mind. Condition was for her, not for him. So if she wants, she can change her mind. But he can't change his mind now. The issue of a woman agreeing to a man not to provide for her, not to give her a house. If he says, I'm going to marry you with a condition, I'm not going to provide for you. Or I'm not giving you such and such. Inshallah, next week I answer that question. Remind me, please. Jazakallah. Now, Abdurrahman. You hear Nikah al-Misyar? Yes, you hear it already. Yes. Yes, if a man, the woman has a condition, she has a condition, her future husband not to get a second wife. Okay, they marry, but she ended up not fulfilling his right. Can he get a second wife? Can he get a second wife? He cannot get second wife because she doesn't fulfill his right. But he can get second wife. He cannot get second wife because she doesn't fulfill his right. Meaning, that's a deficiency with her. So this makes him lawful, has right to get second wife because she doesn't fulfill his right. Okay? You understand? You're confused. You're confused a little bit. Okay. The condition is there not to get second wife. Not to get second wife. If she will fulfill his right, him getting second wife is breaking the contract. He's breaking the contract. He's making disobedience. He's breaking the condition by which this woman ended up to be lawful for him. Okay. But when she neglected his right, he can get second wife. He's not sinning because she doesn't fulfill his right. She doesn't fulfill his right. If a woman doesn't fulfill one's right, does he have to keep her? No. If a man is not fulfilling his wife's right, does she have to be married to him? Yes? No. She has right to ask for divorce. Unlike if he would fulfill her right, could she ask for divorce? No. No. So a man who provides his wife, he treats her well, the way it's commanded, and she wants to, she asks for divorce, she's not allowed. She does that, she's sinning. Unlike if the man doesn't do what he's supposed to do. She can ask for divorce. So this is the difference. If he married second wife while she doing her right, he betray her, he deceive her, he cheat her. Because that was the condition. But if he married second wife because she doesn't fulfill his right, and this has to be established, by the way. It's not his claim. Anything people they have between them, they either agree on or they get a third part to judge between them. Not the man, is the person is the one who making the claim and he's the one who making the ruling. Because the person made mistakes. So there has to be a third part who make that judge. Yes, you neglected his right. you neglected his right. Wallahu a'lam. Do you want the big one or the small one? Okay, yes. And the opposite happened. There is a question. Some people, what they do? The same people. What they do? They agree with the woman, a dowry. Let us say 4,000. But they will mention in the marriage contract where there are the witnesses. Not that exact money they agree upon. Either less or more. For instance, they agree on 4,000. And then they say, when the father comes, witnesses comes, just say 1,000. You know why? Francis, maybe they will take the 3, if you say 4,000, they will take the 3,000 from me. So just let us announce 1,000 and then give it to me 4,000. Just one of the reasons. Sometimes the opposite. You know why? Me being married with dowry 1,000 is not good for me. I want to be known I'm a very special woman. So we will announce $200,000. But just give me 1,000. And then in the meeting, 200,000 is being announced. Everybody looking up, mashallah. This man is very wealthy, and this woman, she is very high class. And then they go together, he give her $500. For instance, this is not allowed. This is a deception. Why the witnesses are there? Witnesses are there to witness what happened. That's what's being considered. So what they have of a local agreement is not valid with when there is a witnesses involved in it. Because the witnesses are there to witness what happened. This man married this woman. Who was the guardian, so-and-so? How much was the dowry, so-and-so? How much was the dowry, so-and-so? So they have to witness something. Tomorrow conflict happen is going back to that what was said. So if he says in the local in between me and you, this is, but with the witnesses, this one, and he rejects tomorrow, she the one who did that to herself. She has to accept it. He shouldn't do that. He has to fulfill his commitment. But judge wise, the judge only judges what he hears. هناك ديانة وهناك قضاء. When it comes to the judge he rules what's apparent. But this man ديانة, he has to pay whatever he promised her in secret. Is that clear? Is there 4,000 hour agreement? But we say in the gathering 1,000, he has to give her how much? 4,000. That's what he agreed with her. But they go to judge, he say no. How can she get? She will not get that. It's between her and Allah. She will get her right from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what you accepted to announce to the witnesses. So where you can get a proof? This is what you signed. This is your contract. A verbal is between you and it's some people, the same thing. People, they work in, they have contract, they sign. And verbally, they say something else. Or they change it, the amendment, they make amendment verbally. Now, tomorrow they disagree. What will be go back to what's written? You say, look, we change it after. You say, no, we didn't change it. Only Allah knows that. So he cannot lie. He has to, whatever he agree with, whether it's verbal, whether it's right, no difference. He has to fulfill his word. But if he decide not to, what will work with the judge is what's apparent, was written, what has a witness. Is this understandable? So if they agree on that, they can do that. It's between them, between the man and the woman. And whatever they agree has to fulfill. But when it comes to the judge and wife, what will be considered is only what was heard by the witnesses. إزالة مسانبه. الله أعلم، صلى الله وسلم بارك على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.